rocking out and reaching out to me and getting me out here, man.
Yes, sir. We're very happy to have you here, Kamal. My name is KJ Eichstead. We're here with Kamal Haddon, the rising cornerback in the NFL, upcoming NFL draft. This guy's 6'1", and he's a ball hawk. We're excited to dive more into that. You are listening to the Ike Packers podcast. So, Kamal, we're gonna do the lightning round to start. And like I said, this is going to be a few quick hitter questions. Just kind of help get the audience know you a little better. There's obviously a great fit here with Green Bay. You know, having a good defense, a talented defense, but not a great one. And you know, obviously having a nice new window of contention, maybe a few pieces away from taking that next step and hopefully bringing home another Super Bowl. So we're excited to get to know you. First question I have for you, and I just asked you to try and keep the lightning round questions to maybe like one or two sentences max to answer, is what's your favorite food?
Favorite food is probably shrimp.
What's a musical artist you've been listening to a lot this year?
Lil Baby.
What's the first app you open up in the morning?
probably Instagram.
What's a favorite book you've read?
Probably a book called Shiloh.
Oh, yeah, I've read that growing up. That's with the dog, right?
Yeah.
That's a good one, man. I haven't heard that name in a while. What about this? What's like a favorite movie and a favorite show you have?
A favorite movie would be Transformers. And then a favorite, a TV show?
Yeah.
My favorite TV show was The 100.
Okay. Yeah, I've heard of both of those. I've never seen The 100, but I like Transformers. The first one was actually really good, and I think can't say the same about the rest of them. But what about this? Apple Music or Spotify?
Apple for sure.
What's the next place you want to go on vacation?
Anywhere out the country. I've never been out the country. Anywhere out the country.
Okay. If you could start or pursue any charity, what would it be?
I'm not totally sure. I got a few that my mother's interested in, but I'm not totally sure yet. I gotta do more research.
Yeah, no, it's good. It's good to always have some input from family. Definitely looking forward to hearing more about that. Obviously, when you achieve your dreams of playing in the NFL, and I think that's a great way to help the fans know more about you. Right. Let's get into some more football stuff. So I guess, Kamal, in your own words, if a team drafts Kamal Haddon, what kind of player are they getting?
Well, most definitely they're getting a dog, number one, you know, in a flight. They're getting a real savvy, confident, you know, player that can make plays on the ball, and a guy that's going to come in and work.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's interesting you say that because we always talk about the Packers defense. A lot of people, some may agree, some may disagree, but some say that the Packers defense has a lot of talent, but maybe isn't as hard-nosed as they could be. Maybe they could use a few more dogs, right? Like, we've got guys like Quay Walker. You know, he's certainly someone we consider a dog. We got guys like Keyshawn Nixon. He's certainly someone we consider a dog. But, you know, I think every great defense, you think about like San Fran, you think about the Baltimore Ravens, certainly teams that have dogs at almost every position. So I like how you said that. I guess just one thing that stood out to me when looking at your film and kind of doing some research is you're an absolute ball hawk. And, you had 3 interceptions through 7 games this year when unfortunately you suffered that injury. Could you just talk about, because we've talked to other guys too, cornerbacks, and they might have, you know, really good tape, really good stuff, but for whatever reason, they just can't convert the interceptions. Can you talk about like maybe your ability as a ball hawk and like maybe was it always that way? Like, were you always a playmaking interception getter, or did you maybe make a couple tweaks along the way that really helped unleash that part of your game?
Yeah, pretty much. I was always like a playmaker. I try and like lock my mind in on, you know, having a going in with a mindset of like making an impact on the game. Like, you know, play is going to come your way. You just got to be there to capitalize. You know, sometimes at cornerback, you don't get a lot of action if you're the number one corner or something like that. So, you know, when they come, you just got to capitalize. And if they're not coming to you, you got to go make the play. So, you know, if they're not really throwing your way, well, you got to think about a forced fumble now. You know what I'm saying? You got to think about another way you can just have an impact on the game. So I try and go in every game with that mindset of at least have it trying and attempting to have an impact on the game or a game changing play, which most of the time is a turnover. So just growing up and like getting more knowledge on the game and stuff like that, I just try and make most impact plays I can, you know, and focus on what I could do. And I just know if you catch the ball or you get it out, it'll be great for your team.
Man, I couldn't agree with you more, Kamal, because I think the great equalizer in this game is turnovers. And you hit it on the head, right? Like, you could give up some yards, you could give up some catches, but if you make a turnover, the team that wins the turnover battle usually ends up winning the game, especially in the playoffs. So that's awesome to hear you place an emphasis on that, especially with your mentality. You know, another thing I want to ask you about is you're about to make this jump, right? Like, you declared for the draft. You're in the SEC, which in my opinion is like the minor leagues of the NFL, a very, very, very good league, lots of speed, lots of pro talent you're going up against each and every week, but still you're about to make this leap. And I want to ask you, because a lot of people might not know that you went the junior college route,
right?
And there's also, before transferring to Tennessee, and there's also a lot of like, I would just say like hidden gems found via the JUCO route. And one that comes to my mind, and I'm not sure if you're familiar, but Jason Pierre-Paul, a lot of people don't know that that guy went the junior college route, transferred to South Florida, got drafted by the Giants, ended up wrecking, you know, the Packers Super Bowl chances a few times himself.
Right.
But you must have made a huge leap going from JUCO to Tennessee, and you're about to make another big leap going from Tennessee to the pros. Could you talk about that first leap? You know, going from JUCO to Tennessee, like how you handled that, maybe how you overcame some adversity, the speed change, all those things, and then maybe how you plan on handling this next level jump.
Right. Well, yeah, it was pretty big for me because coming out of high school, I was like I only had like one Division I offer, and I didn't end up getting to qualify out of high school to go D1, so I had to go junior college. And what really changed and, you know, clicked for me was junior college. You know, I got in the lineup, got in the rotation and made a few plays. Like, I always been a playmaker, so I made a few plays and the scouts started reaching out to me more. And my body was actually filling out more at JUCO because all you really do up there is work out and play football. So I'm starting to get bigger and faster. And the main thing was the speed of the game. You know, it was hard for me a little bit at first, but once, you know, I got more repetition at it and, you know, I started to see and break down, you know, like what's my strengths and my weaknesses and like starting to use them to my advantage. I feel like that's what kind of helped me take that leap from junior college to the SEC, because it was a real big difference. You know, junior college, you're going against some guys, but it's only a few guys, you know, that's going to make it to that next level and really go, you know, like you said, to the pros and to the SEC. So I emerged as one of those guys, but it was just the main difference was the speed and really the mental game side of things. That's what a lot of players, I feel like, kind of sleep on. And that's what I slept on is like the mental side of the game. That's what helped me a lot, and that's what slowed the game down for me, which allowed me to make more plays. And I feel like that's what it changed my game from the SEC to the pros, because, you know, everybody's going to be athletic. It's always going to be somebody faster, stronger, and bigger. But if you know what's coming and you can think and, you know, anticipate what's coming, I feel like that'll help you very much. And that's what you need, I think, to succeed in pros.
Man, I love that answer, Kamal, because what I see just from a neutral source here, right? You know, you have proven you can do it, right? Like, this isn't going to be like your first leap. Like, you've already proven you can make that big leap. So in my head, it's like, why can't you do it again? You know, so I have faith you can do it again. And I think the Packers definitely, you know, we were kind of talking before this, we got 5 picks in the top 100. Right. You know, we've got certainly a ton of draft capital to maneuver up and down, maybe go get a guy like you. And speaking of the Packers, like, have you watched much film on Jaire Alexander and you know, one of our star corners, and what do you take from that? And could you maybe talk about that for a sec?
Nah, yeah. I watched Jaire. You know, I watched him a lot, you know, these last last few years, he been balling, man. You know, that's one thing about him. You know, a lot of people, you know, speak on his off the field, you know, ethics or whatever, but he get on the field and he ball, man. He make plays, and that's kind of what I like to push myself towards, because, you know, a guy like that, it was the Cowboys game. He made that, yep, you know, crazy slant interception. That was like out of this world as a cornerback. That was out of this world, you know. And it's just he's a real baller, man. There's nothing else to really say about it. He's one of those guys that's gonna let you know he's there, and he backs it up, you know. And that's what you really need at corner. And that's somebody I feel like if I was to be put in that situation, it'd be good, because he's a guy that you can look up to and really learn from by just watching, you know. And especially if you with him and, you know, around him all the time and just not watching on TV, that's somebody you can really learn from, and it'd be big. So,
hey, man. Yeah, no, totally. He, like you said, he definitely is unique. He's one of a kind, but then so is Kamal Haddon, right? Like, so is KJ Ike said, we're all perfectly imperfect. We're all unique. Right. And that's what makes us ourselves. And that's what makes us special. And Jair is no difference. When he gets on the field, that man knows how to ball. He's a dog. He's a playmaker. But yeah, I think if he were to even take the next step, Alex and I, my co-hosts, were talking on a pod last week or something, 2 weeks ago, about how if Jair could just get like more interceptions, he could be the DPOY, right? Like, did the Packers have a guy on their defense who could be the DPOY? Like, maybe if Rashawn Gary breaks out, maybe my dark horse is Quay Walker, our linebacker. I think he can start getting sacks. He's a sideline to sideline guy, super athletic freak. Definitely a dog. But then, like, you know, Jair Alexander is the obvious one. But if in order for him to do that, he's probably going to have to get a few more picks. And it's just interesting because he's a great player. He's an all pro, but you can always get better. And that kind of feeds into my next question, Kamal. Like, the Packers could certainly use, you know, many, many talented defensive players, especially in the secondary. Right. It's a defensive passing league. And so I guess, you know, from your own perspective, like, what do you see when you look at the Packers defense? I guess, like, what do you see there?
I haven't really studied too much on the Packers, like, particularly, but I for sure know Quay Walker, and I know Jair, and it was one of the safeties. He got dreads. I think he was 32 or
Savage.
Somewhere. Yeah, I think it's Savage. He made a few. I think it was that the one with the pick six?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, he made some plays, man. And it's really some savvy guys in there that I've been, you know, that stood out to me, that made a few plays that I see. It's real potential there, you know. And I feel like once everybody, you know, it just takes chemistry and time to get that roll and get that flow going. Because once you get that and, like, everybody on the defense on the same unit and same, like, unison, it's crazy, man. And it could take you a long way. But I really see the defense, and I see, you know, the playmakers that they have out there for sure.
Yeah, man, and Alex and I were kind of talking, right? Like, one of these things about the Super Bowl caliber teams is they all seem to have elite tight ends. And I just want to ask you, because imagine going up against a Travis Kelce, right? Imagine going up against a George Kittle coming right at you downhill. Like, it's got to be scary. It probably isn't too much fun to tackle those guys, but I guess, like, what would be your approach to just bringing a guy like that down when the game's on the line?
On the tackling side of things, you know, just a routine tackle, man, you know, wrap and roll, you know, if that's what you got to do, wrap and roll, and be willing to stick your nose in there and, you know, get nasty with those guys, because those are some big guys. But coverage wise, you know, use your techniques to your advantage. You know, those guys aren't really burners. So you got to really hone in on the technique and where your keys and read your keys and know the down and distance and, you know what's coming and know where we at in the game, know where we're on the field. So it's a lot. That's what comes back to film session and actually studying your opponent to know what's coming. And I feel like that would be like the main thing that I would probably do to try and stop those playmakers, man, because Travis Kelce and Kittle, man, those two are some real deal playmakers, and you got to watch a lot of film. You just got to be ready to answer the bell when your time comes. So,
man, I love that answer because it's so real. You're like, look, not many people have been able to stop these guys, as the entire league evidence shows, right? But all you can do is prepare and put yourself in the best position to succeed. Trust your instincts, trust the film. I really like that answer, Kamal. Taking it back to the Packers for a sec, what do you see in Jordan Love?
Is that the quarterback?
Yes, sir.
I see him, man. He's a young guy, and I see he make a lot of like great plays. Like he throws the over the shoulder really well, and you know he's not really he's not who was the quarterback before then?
We had Favre, and then we had Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, Rodgers. He's not an Aaron Rodgers yet, but I for sure see like the younger him coming, and the more years to come, I feel like it'll be great for him. So he's for sure a playmaker though, and I see he's leading the team to big things, and they really trust him. So that's what I'm seeing.
Yeah, no, it's always fun to get a cornerback's perspective on that, right? Because you guys, just like you said, you study the tape on the tight ends, the receivers. You also got to study the QB, I'm assuming, reading the eyes. It's all part of the being a playmaker,
right?
Maybe baiting them a little bit. Do you do much baiting in your game? I mean, that's kind of some high level stuff, but could you maybe speak to that a little bit? Maybe it's I don't know if some consider that a bad habit or a good habit or just high level stuff. Like, could you speak on just like the art of baiting potentially?
You as a defense man, you always want to, you know, bait and, you know, try and throw the quarterback off, give him different looks and, you know, just give him different setups to where you think you might be doing one thing and then, you know, rolling out to doing another thing. So it just every play, man, is different depending on what's the down and distance and where you at in the field and, you know, what time, where we at in the game. I just try and, you know, set the quarterback up to give him a different look, a hard press look, and, you know, give him a soft or give him a press look and bail out. Or it's different techniques that you can use to throw a quarterback off. But you for sure want to bait him like all the time you can just to throw their mind off and keep him, you know, keep him tight and keep him on his toes.
Amen. And like you said earlier, you know, one interception, even if you give up a few catches, like one interception can change the entire game. And I know a lot of Packers fans, we've been talking about, 20, his number's 26, but a lot of people call him 21 Savage. Mm-hmm. But he had that pick six. A lot of Packers fans have actually been kind of frustrated with him during his tenure because he's this hyper-athletic guy. He's got all the talent in the world, but he's just a little inconsistent. But, right. Man, in that Cowboys game, that pick six kind of put the nail in the coffin.
Right.
And, you know, it doesn't matter if you give up a few catches here or there. If you get that pick six, it changes games. And I saw you had a pick six. Right. Could you talk about that pick six you had this year and just, like, what that was like, man?
Man, it was actually like that was probably one of my like most memorable. It probably will be my most memorable moments in college football for sure because it was my first pick six of my career. But it was so much more behind it because last year I didn't have the best game against South Carolina, and like you know they had beat us. They beat us to put us out the playoffs pretty much, and they rushed the field and did all that type of stuff, man, and it kind of left us with a real sour taste in our mouth. And the day after that game, like the 22 year, man, we were all just like, man, we can't wait to go back down there. We can't wait till they come to us and we play them. And all the tension was built up. And just that week, we all was knowing, like, you know, what we had coming in. And everybody was kind of, like, waiting to see, like, how I was going to respond and what I was going to do. And, you know, just all that type of stuff. And it was a third down. And, you know, just one of those things where you kind of baiting them. But, you know, it was going into halftime. You don't really... I was thinking that they wouldn't try and get the third down. You know, they probably going to get a check down and, you know, just punt it away. It's a couple seconds till halftime. But he actually threw it. And, you know, like that, like I said, when those type of plays come, you, man, you just got to cash in and make the most of it because, you know, it's rare that those plays happen. So you just got to do what you do, make the play, make the catch, and, you know, go score and put your best foot forward for your team. So that's what I try to do. I got a great pass rush from James Pierce. You know, that's what helped me get to the pick in the first place was the D-line, the rush. So that was help from him, and I appreciate him for that. So hats off to him.
Yeah, no, man. I mean, like, you just like in life, right? Like, you can't always control what happens to you, but you can control how you respond. And I think, you know, talk about just responding the best way you possibly could have. That must have felt amazing.
Right. No, I did for sure, man. It was a real eye-opener to just, man, let the work do what it's going to do. And, you know, everybody else, you know, catch on. Because like you said, man, you know, every corner in DB, it's the hardest position on the field. You're going to get beat. You know, and that's the main thing everybody see. They see you just getting beat. But as long as you come back and, you know, you can redeem yourself and make a play, that's what really shows what type of player you are. So it was big, man. And it really boosted my confidence. But it just showed what type of player I was, really.
Yeah, no, I love that. Confidence is huge as well. Got to have a short memory. Got to have confidence on high. And let me ask you this, Kamal. So when Alex and I evaluate prospects, it's very important for us to identify the why, right? Like the W-H-Y. Right. And, you know, if someone's playing for like their dad who might have passed away, or someone's playing for their family, or, you know, they have like a reason they're playing versus someone's, you know, just playing for a paycheck. Like usually the guys who are grinding for something bigger than themselves are always the guys that end up going farther. And I want to ask you, Kamal, in your own words, what is your why?
My number one why is, man, really, you know, it might be cliche, but it's really big to me. And that's my family. You know, I'm a baby of 5'4". And, you know, my mom, she been through a lot. You know, she had several different surgeries on her back and her neck, and she couldn't really work in the plant no more. So that was big for me. And I lost my auntie on my first day of college. She sent me off to school. I was getting on the plane, and I got off the plane, and she passed away. And my auntie was my next big thing for me. And I lost my big brother to the justice system, which he's in prison for a long time. And letting them see me, you know, do my thing, and giving them something to be proud of, to just show them it's always a different way of life and a different way you can do things the right way and stuff like that, man. It's just wanting to go hard for the last name on the back of my jersey, and, you know, just wanting to make my mom proud after all that she's been through, man. That's just my main why.
Man, I don't think that's cliche at all. I think that's right on the money. And I think that's amazing to hear. And to me, that just fires me up, because it tells me your head's in the right place. It tells me you're playing for someone more than yourself. And, you know, it's interesting. Actually, earlier today, I got the news that my grandma passed away. And, you know, it is what it is. But the feeling I have is just making them proud, right? Like honoring that legacy. And that's just kind of what you said with an exclamation mark. You're like, hey, the last name, you know, making that mean something. And I know that you're going to do that. Right. Appreciate you sharing that, Kamal. It's super important. I know a lot of scouts are gonna love
that. I appreciate you too, man. And I'm sorry for your loss, man. I'm still, you know, I'm glad you're still working, and glad you know, brought me on, man. I know it's tough, but I'm praying for you.
Just thank you, my man. And just keep making them proud. It's the best thing we can do. So let me ask you this, Kamal. Taking it back to, you know, we talked a little bit about Jaire Alexander. Right. You know, another great defensive back for the Packers, Charles Woodson, right? He was massive in helping us win our Super Bowl. We couldn't have done it without him. Right. Then there's guys like Darrell Revis. There's guys like Stephon Gilmore, maybe a Richard Sherman. Right. I mean, you're a guy, you've got upside. What do you think of when you think of those guys? And do you like take any specific traits from them that you try and apply to your own game? Could you just speak on that for a little bit?
Right. You know, all those guys are unique in their own way, you know, and I feel like, you know, the main thing, you try and just grab bits and pieces from everybody. You know, Sherm, he wasn't too much of a fast guy, but, you know, he excelled in what he did. And, you know, he put his strengths to his ability, which made him who he is. And Revis, he was just another guy that, you know, traveled all over the field and, you know, just locked down, you know, and he played in a lot of different eras. So just watching him and watching tape on him and how he did things and, you know, just watching documentaries, how he talk and how he think. It's just, you know, that's pretty much all I could do growing up is, you know, just seeing those guys and watching and getting as much info as I could and things like that. But Charles Woodson, man, he was a versatile guy. He went to Michigan and, you know, I'm from Michigan. So, you know, just knowing the history on him and knowing like his playmaking ability is, you know, it was just like second nature, like to wanting to be like him growing up. So it was just different things that you get from that game that, you know, you just try and apply. You know, you might see some on Saturday when you was a kid growing up and you might want to go out there. You might try and go out there in your Pop Warner days and do what they did or mimic what they were doing and stuff like that. So I just grew up trying to do that type stuff and just watching them guys do what they do. But those guys are all vets, and man, I wish one day that I could meet them and, you know, learn some stuff from, you know, face to face and things like that.
Man, I love hearing that answer. And yeah, I think all those guys are legends in their own right. Talking about, you know, the upcoming pre-draft process, Kamal, do you have like a goal for your 40 time? Are you going to be able to run with your shoulder and everything? And first of all, how's the shoulder doing?
No, the shoulder's fine, man. Everything's fine. I'm, you know, I'm pretty much good to go. You know what I'm saying? I do everything, you know, with my training wise and getting ready for the pre-draft process. So I'm doing everything I can right now.
That's awesome, man. Like, and if you're willing to share, do you have like a goal you want to run for your 40?
for sure want to run a 4.4. You know, if I can get down to a low 4.4, I would love to do that, but for sure want to run a 4.4.
Yeah, and I just want to remind all the listeners, Kamal is actually, I mean, what I'm looking at here, you're like 6'1", 200 pounds, so you're not like a super small dude. You got that size, and if you ran a 4.4, that's an athletic specimen right there. So I love that you're aiming high on that. Let the chips fall where they may, you know, like give it your best effort, and you've already got the tape that proves you can make the plays on the field. So just because someone can put up a good time, it's not everything. And yeah, man, I'm looking forward to watching that. I guess like what else is next for you, you know, in this pre-draft process? Like, I guess like what are you up to these days? Like what's your next few weeks looking like? And if you wouldn't mind sharing some of that.
Really just training, man, you know, just training, you know, that's the main thing right now, just training. Everything is training, getting my body right, getting my body back to where it need to be, you know, coming back from injury, just getting back riding, everything, focusing on ball and, you know, off the field ball, on the field ball, everything is just ball right now, you know, just main thing is getting ready for the combine and getting ready to do those type of things, so.
Eat, sleep, football, repeat.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
How about this? So this is kind of a unique question. You know, who, I guess, like are some receivers that you've gone up against that, you know, you think people should keep an eye on as we get to the next level here? And then besides yourself, right, because obviously you got undying belief in yourself, who's a cornerback prospect that you think people should keep their eyes on besides you?
Some receivers that I would say, you know, I got to give a shout out to my teammate, you know, Romeo Keaton. You know, he had a year to remember, and he's a guy that I went up against every day in practice, you know, ever since I got to Tennessee. He's a guy that just, you know, he don't really say a lot, but he come to work, man. He'd get you on your toes. Me and him just having battles every day for 3 years straight, just, you know, it was just good to go against him every day, you know, iron sharper iron, you know. He was just one of those guys that, you know, it's a lot of, you know, things that go in practice when you're not locked in and stuff. But when you line up against Mel, you got to be locked in. Also, Brew McCoy. Brew McCoy is, that's one hell of a guy to go up against, man, in practice. And I know it's worse probably in the game, you know, because he's a physical receiver and he's a guy that's going to go get it. And just a guy that plays with a chip on his shoulder. So he a real dog. And those two guys are some guys that, you know, that I give a shout out to and real good players to look for in the future, for sure.
Yeah, no, and I'm assuming you're probably working out with some guys, or maybe you got some friends or something. Like besides Kamal, who's another like cornerback guy you think maybe is people might be sleeping on, or someone to watch?
Right. I forget dude name. He from Toledo though.
Quinyon Mitchell.
That's his name, Quinyon Mitchell. Nah, yeah, he's a guy that, you know, I've seen and I've been hearing a lot from, you know, just seeing a lot from him. And, man, he a baller, man. Everything that I've seen from him, he's a baller. And he got a DB coach over there, Corey Parker, you know, that was my high school coach. You know, them two guys are, they doing their thing. And he's coming from Toledo, man, it really gave me a good salute to him, you know, being on that level and still getting recognition and balling like he is. It's crazy, man. They let me know he did his thing at the Senior Bowl, too. So it kind of solidified, you know, him as a player. And I just give him a hats off to that. So he's good.
I love hearing like the mutual respect between guys, and you said it yourself. It's one of my favorite quotes ever is iron sharpens iron. And that is just how we all get better. You got any plans for the draft?
I might do a draft party or something like that. I'm not really sure yet, but you know, I'm just really focusing on, you know, getting my work and stuff right now and my agents and all them handling that type of stuff. So
yeah, just probably hang with the fam maybe.
No, most definitely.
Yeah. Well, this has been an amazing interview, Kamal, and we always like to end with our last question is, you know, how is the family and how's Kamal Haddon the person doing?
Nah, man, the family great. You know, my nephews and all those guys, they ready to see me get my name called, and they ready to come to some of those games and stuff, man. So they doing real good. You know, my sisters and everybody supporting me, you know, just waiting, being a good family to me, and everybody just looking out and making sure I'm all right, and mainly me, I'm doing well, man. You know, my mind is in the right spot. You know, I'm more motivated than ever coming off an injury. I had setbacks before, and I feel like that's what helps me, you know, cash in the most is when I feel like I'm coming back from something and where I got to get over something. So I'm just, you know, getting my mind right, you know, getting my body right and getting in gladiator mode to go in there and prove myself, you know, because I know I'm going to have to either way it go, you know. I'm just getting my mind set on coming in there and proving myself and making sure I stick.
Getting in gladiator mode. I absolutely love that. And I know the fans will as well. Kamal Haddon, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been an amazing episode of the Ike Packers podcast. Kamal, any final thoughts?
I want to appreciate you, man. And I want to thank, you know, everybody that's going to reach out, Packers. And hopefully, you know, we get to reunite one day and, you know, I'll be a part of you guys' organization.
Yes, sir. Well, you know, if everyone, just want to thank everyone for listening. Just want to thank all the Packers fans out there, all the football fans, you know, all the scouts, all the people in the front offices listening in. Want to thank Kamal for coming on and sharing, you know, some personal stuff and some of his football IQ and his approach. Just been a great interview. And Kamal, I have no doubt, man, you're going to do some great stuff, my friend. And if you like this show, Packers fans, text it to a friend. It's the number one way to help us grow. Leave a 5-star review. That's great as well. My name is KJ Eichstead. Just had an amazing interview with Kamal Haddon, and we'll catch you next time. Thanks, Kamal.